Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Irene Windhorst with you here again. It's been a long year since I've broadcasted anything. Recently, many issues have been really fired up and people's awareness has peaked. We all want our best interests served, our desires filled. We want to have the greatest benefits. We deserve them. Everyone wants to feel safe and to have choice. Today's world is a hotbed of conflict and powers overturning treaties, laws, and rights, even the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. Of all people, while giving carte blanche to Big Farm and the food and chemical industries, how can we take back our power? Politics is renowned and constantly proving itself to be dishonestly serving a few while exploiting the people and the land and the all other life. Once we might have believed that government were the servants of the people, but it's blatantly demonstrated repeatedly that if ever true, that has gone by the wayside. What can we do to prepare for survival in such a day and age? How are you facing these issues? Farmers in Oregon, Jackson County, Oregon, got together and they won their fight against GMO contamination by Monsanto. They're working for your clean food. Health conscious farmers provide clean, healthy food. Avoid buying GMOs. They are unhealthy and being forced upon the world populations wherever possible. They bind to your intestines and change your DNA. Vote against harmful foods with your pocketbook. Choose clean foods. Eat vegetables and organic meats. And live a more healthy life supporting other people instead of institutions like hospitals, Big Farm and Monsanto, who contribute to illness. We may need them, the hospitals and Big Farm, in heroic situations, but they've been becoming more and more controlling to the point where your trusted physician is prohibited from telling you the best ways of maintaining your good health. Take your power back. Let food be thy medicine. Speak with your pocketbook. And let your shine, your light, shine so brightly that others can see their way out of the dark. Be the example you wish to see in the world. The Dalai Lama said, "When you think everything is someone else's fault, you will suffer a lot. When you realize that everything springs only from yourself, you will learn both peace and joy." Now that's a really, really difficult concept to garner within ourselves. Take years for that one. The principle is that my thoughts, your thoughts, and intentions result in my actions, and my actions, or lack of action, brings results in my life and extends to the rest of humanity. Because I leave an open garbage pail and a raccoon comes and scatters my garbage, can I really blame that raccoon? If I walk up to a huge buck deer with my rifle and get pummeled by that deer, is it his fault? If I'm a diabetic and I eat lots of candy, can I blame God that I am sick and becoming more sick? What am I doing to resolve my situation and prepare for the best results I can have? Albert Schweitzer said, until we extend our circle of compassion to all living beings, humanity will never find peace. We can test these things so easily for ourselves, yes? Chief Seattle wrote possibly the most important speech on ecology ever. It's hanging on my wall. chief in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land. The great chief also sends us words of friendship and goodwill. This is kind of him, since we know he has little need of our friendship in return, but we will consider your offer. How can you buy or sell the earth? Excuse me, the sky, the warmth of the land. The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and every humming insect is holy in the memory and experience of my people. The sap which courses through the trees carries the memories of the red man. So when the great chief in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land, he asks much of us. This we know, all things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He's merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. But we will consider your offer to go to the reservation you have for my people. We will live apart and in peace. One thing we know, which the white man may one day discover, our God is the same God. You may think now that you own him as you wish to own our land, but you cannot. He is the God of man, and his compassion is equal for the red man and the white. This earth is precious to him, and to harm the earth is to heap contempt on its creator. The whites too shall pass, perhaps sooner than all the other tribes. Continue to contaminate your bed, and you will one night suffocate in your own waste. But in your perishing, you will shine brightly, fired by the strength of the God who brought you to this land and for some special purpose gave you dominion over the red man. That destiny is a mystery to us, for we do not understand when the buffalo are all slaughtered, the wild horses are tamed, and the view of the ripe hills blotted by talking wires. Where is the thicket? Gone. Where is the eagle? Gone. And what is it to say goodbye to the swift pony in the hunt? It is the end of living and the beginning of survival. So we will consider your offer to buy our land. If we agree, it will be to secure the reservation you have promised. There perhaps we may live out our brief days as we wish. When the last red man has vanished from the earth and his memory is only the shadow of a cloud moving across the prairie, these shores and forests will still hold the spirits of my people. For they love this earth as a newborn loves its mother's heartbeat. So if we sell our land, love it as we have loved it, care for it as we have cared for it, hold in your mind the memory of the land as it is when you take it, and preserve it for your children, and love it as God loves us all. One thing we know, our God is the same God. This earth is precious to him. Even the white men cannot exempt from the common destiny. We may be brothers after all. We shall see. And I ask you to think about, what mode are we really in now? Survival mode, just as he said. The Apache people are fighting to save Oak Flats, their holy land. And if we continue to destroy any sacred land, the vibration of this entire planet will be in discord, as it is. It's already true. Tibetans have been uprooted. and in their own land prevented from practicing reverence for the land and for all people as they always did. The monks there were a powerful population, and I do believe, as they say, that their prayers were holding a space for all people on this earth. All indigenous lands and peoples have been exploited. And God's, creators, nature's handiwork is being fouled and replaced by industries and corporations that think they can make money their sustenance. Let's wake up to the fact that we are energy beings and only a small part of the energy and purpose of the earth. Treaties have been spoken and broken, still being broken. Where is the integrity in humanity? Indigenous peoples have been the keepers of this earth, and in only 200 short years, the white man has destroyed a good portion. Non-Indian powers in the area I visited continue to take reservation lands under the guise of water conservancy, and as usual, the best lands. And then they give rights to white farmers to waste that water with their huge sprayers that disperse the water far and wide and enable evaporation. Wasting water, not conserving. Also, those white farmers can get ahead while native peoples are ignored. What happened to the concept of government as servants to and of the people? Of course, I think we all know the stories of how those reservations promised turned out to be something altogether different. Not a place where people could live free as they had, but where their children were captured and beaten so that they would not speak their own language. So Windhorst says we need to be aware and champion those issues of a wide scale, to stop, look, and listen, and take stock of our own actions for the benefit of all humankind and our Earth Mother. Take notice of the indigenous wisdom that thinks ahead for the next 6-7 generations. Indigenous wisdom thinks ahead for the next 7 generations. Don't be like that grandmother that once told me, "I won't be here. I don't care." This land does not belong to us. It is on loan from our children and our grandchildren. Recently, I've been all bent out of shape about the misdeeds of some people and seemingly all governments. I had to take stock, and as His Holiness the Dalai Lama cautioned, I had to look back at myself. What actions can I take to preserve my own sanity and worthiness and bring wisdom to the fore? I know this. My calm being is a plus. It's not only a plus, it makes all the difference in the world. Meditating, keeping the focus on my own survival and optimal health and abundance, be it harm none, including myself, is the major factor. If each of us do that much, we will naturally extend a compassionate hand to the rest of life on this planet. So, this is my basic rant for today. I hope it's rather an inspiration. I welcome your thoughts, and I will open another discussion on this soon, for a half hour goes very fast. I give you this phone number again to call in, speak with me. The call-in number is 646-668-8170. That's 646-668-8170. I did a lot of talking about Cecil the Lion, and I'm not the only one. And all kinds of things came up on that. just to kill for fun is something like Chief Seattle couldn't understand buying the land. I just cannot understand that. How can a person be so bereft that they find pleasure in that? And in such a I can't think of the word, the unbrave way, to go and sit and wait and snipe him, and can't even get a good shot in. And then he has to track him and finally shoot him with a high-powered rifle, which... Did he shoot him or somebody, one of his helpers shot him? What a waste of life. And now his pride is in danger as well. So my point in talking about it is to stop and think, what do you value? If you value your own life, can you not see the connection between yourself and other life? Only by closing our eyes and really ignoring things can we stay in that state of mind. So that's why I get on this radio and I get on Facebook. I rant and I blab all over the place. Times people will disagree with me, and I learn from that. Many people agree, many people disagree. We need to listen to each other and come to a common beneficial conclusion. You can find me, by the way, on Facebook at Reverend. It's R-E-V, abbreviated, Rev Windhorse, comma, Transformative Spiritual Services. That will bring up my page for you. And you can find me on Skype at iWindhorse, I-W-I-N-D-H-O-R-S-E. And I see I have a phone caller. Let me select you in the correct way. I'm going to push this button. Hello, 516. I am trying to connect you, and I'm not sure what I'm doing right now. Let's see, that's mute. Live.
Now.
Hello. I did it. Hello. I know that voice. Violet Rose Reiki.
It's Violet Rose Reiki. Yes, how are you? You success.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm flubbing through as always. Oh,
you're doing
boy.
Good. You have the power, sweetie. You are the one.
Thank you.
It's funny because everything you're talking about, the thing with Cecil was just unspeakable, and every time I hear his name, I tear up because it was horrible, absolutely horrible. And that wasn't even hunting because it was a group of men. He shot him with the bow and arrow, and then 40 hours later, you know, the poor lion had to be in pain and everything and bleeding to death, and 40 hours later, him and his crew, found him and shot him. And then skin them all.
Right. And how about the fact that they lured him away?
Yes.
They didn't have the courage to go and meet a lion, you know, face to face.
That's not a hunt. That's a killing. That's a massacre. That's a slaughter.
Exactly.
It's, you know, and they had to have seen the collar or something, you know. And it's the same thing with the wolves. They're luring and killing wolves with collars, and they want to just wipe out the wolf population, and it's disgusting. And this is what man is doing to the animals because, well, not everybody, but there are those who think, well, the animal is lesser than me, so I can do what I want.
Exactly.
It's a bad mentality.
Right. Exactly. We need to take stock and reconsider our values. And how about you're a Reiki master and more. And so you work with energy. How about the fact that this earth is encased in an energy sheath? And the more various energies that exist here, such as lions and, you know, every animal and every person, as we emit our energies, that becomes part of the planetary energies.
Right.
And, you know, as we take out all these species of animals, we've got to fill in that deficit of energy. Now, where does that leave us? If,
well,
you know, for one way of thinking about it.
With a good energy.
What's that?
It's not being filled with good energy.
Right, right.
And another thing I find myself questioning all the time, because I am a Reiki master, a Reiki master teacher, and in addition to that, I'm psychic, and the feedback that I'm getting from my Reiki clients and students and my psychic clients is, and it saddens me so much, people just do not have self-love and self-respect. And I feel that because of this, all of these things are happening. And sometimes I feel, there are times that I feel it's 2015, we're moving ahead, things are moving much faster. They've acknowledged the divine feminine, and they've acknowledged that there needs to be balance between the divine masculine and divine feminine, and that we have to remove ourselves from this patriarchal energy. But truth be told, I'm not feeling we're up to speed on that just yet, and that most people are lacking in self-love and self-respect, and they're looking for it in all other manner of ways.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure this doctor doesn't love and respect himself. You can tell by his actions.
Absolutely. This is the prime point. Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. I mean, because if you do love yourself, then you think in totally different ways, and you see in different ways, and you have a different kind of respect for others, and it becomes a natural thing. We need to work at
right.
that.
If you do not love yourself, if you do love yourself, okay, if you unconditionally, completely, wholly love yourself, then you could never harm another sentient being.
Agreed.
So, like, the world's going rampant because these people are lacking. And instead of going within, they're going without. And they're buying into a lot of bunk, and it's not helping. Or they're looking for this from another person to give them that love or that respect and whatever. And that's not working either.
Or to take care of your health. That's another thing. Take responsibility for your own health.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, oh, you know, this company did this to me, and what did you do? Where was your part in this? You know.
Yeah.
Reject it. You know, GMOs are all over the place. Start growing your own food.
Yes. Yes. We have to become much more responsible. And if each person did that, there have been arrests and whatever for people growing their own food and sharing it with their neighbors. We need to do that en masse because
that's the big corporations. They don't want you to do that. They're not going to make any money.
Right. Exactly.
They're not going to make any money. The hospitals, the insurance companies are not going to make any money because people won't be sick and going to them and availing themselves of their, quote, services. It's just crazy.
It really
and
is.
Now there's new stuff with Native Americans. They're taking land from the Apache. They were doing something. I mean, I said to myself, are you kidding me? You're going to rape these people again? When is enough enough?
It has never stopped, Violet. It never has stopped. It's
great. But
I saw that land where they've taken more land from the reservation in Wyoming, and you know, it's just under these laws. And I mean, our laws are being compromised. We really need to unite instead of, you know, feeling like, you know, you're getting something better than me. We need to start to unite and make it right for everyone, you know.
That's true. I mean, I also see this stuff coming up between the races and the racial this and the racial that, and I feel like I got thrown back into the 60s again.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I did. I was ranting about that. Well, I wrote it about in terms of the gay community, but I meant that for everyone, the political correctness and, you know, worrying about speaking politically correct, and well, that article was about also was respecting to gain respect. And I have another caller coming in. How about that?
Cool.
Yeah. Why don't we connect?
Well, since you're short on time, I said my piece. I love you.
Okay.
And go take that other caller.
All right. Thanks.
Take care, Windhorse.
Thanks for calling in. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Rose. 516. Let's see if I can connect you now, screen. Hello?
Hello, Reverend Windhorse?
Yes.
It's Daniel, the psychic.
Hello, Daniel.
How are you?
Well.
I know you're short on time, and I just wanted to mention what Rose Violet had spoke of is so very important. My wife and I are part of a community, a garden, a communal garden, and we plant pumpkins and tomatoes, squash, eggplants, string beans each year, and at harvest time, we harvest everything, bring it to elderly neighbors, infirmed neighbors, people that are maybe low income and have lots of children. This is a an organic farm, and it feels so good to be able to supply something like food as fuel for these individuals. And although it's a small scale, it's just us helping a few people, it's got to start somewhere. And it's a great way to begin the help and feeling better about your community, is even if it is just a few families you're helping, you're at least, you're starting somewhere, and that matters so much.
And what about the example you're giving those families to,
yeah,
then pass it forward, you know?
Exactly. That would be a wonderful extra bonus.
Yes. And we can, if we wish, we can continue to speak, because it will go off air, but we will be recording, and then anyone who listens to the audio later on.
That would be great.
Everything. Yeah. I know I've seen pictures of some of your gardens, and Daniel.
Oh, I'm glad you got
to
see them. Yeah, it's really, the summer is now in flourish, so the plants are really starting to produce now. I can't wait till we really start bringing in the big harvest, because speaking of Monsanto, we're using heirloom seeds, planting these plants from seeds from hundreds of years ago, and it makes for a more delicious food, frankly.
Absolutely does. And you can smell the difference. You can see the difference in the colors.
Absolutely.
And,
when I speak to elderly folks and they tell me things like, it sticks in my head when they say things like, I haven't tasted a good banana since 1910. It makes you think, my God, food has changed dramatically.
It has, you know, and that's another thing I always tell. I rant, you might have seen my rants on Facebook about it, because, you know, we as elders, you know, we need to speak. Maybe, you know, I'm only 74, but, you know, still I'm up there. But there's older people than me. We need to speak now. I know the difference between the bananas. I know the difference between the smell and the fruits and vegetables. And I have to share that. I can't actually give the sensation of it, but
right.
I have to tell people, I have to tell these kids, and they look at me, but you know what?
I'm so glad you're doing that, because words matter, your words do matter, and in societies long ago where anyone who was more mature or older was held in reverence, these stories, which are based on fact, are so necessary, because that's experiential. That's something that young people will never know if they don't hear this from somebody who's had this experience of the delicious, wholesome tastiness of food. And maybe it can inspire young people to further their own research and study, find those heirloom seeds before they all get bought up by who knows what kind of diabolical companies, and continue to create the kind of foods that give us the kind of vitality and longevity and health, good health, that we so dearly need.
Exactly. I always tell, you know, people, you know, say to me, oh, you spend three times as much as me on food. I say, guess what? But you know what? I don't give it to a doctor. I give it
exactly.
to that farmer and that, you know, and
right.
I'm healthy.
Yeah, because you could be eating, of course, much less expensively the garbage that's in these supermarkets. And yes, you're absolutely right. You'll ultimately be giving the money to physicians and then ultimately, really, pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly. And then, which doesn't solve the problem either. I mean, in certain instances, okay, yes. But, you know, really, if you keep a basic good diet, your body will react in the healthy way. And you keep a better balance. And every drug that is given is throwing off the balance in the body. So that's why then another one is added and another one. And oh, Lordy.
And truly, what a treasure it is to have good health, because it's nice to surround oneself in a sensual world with the things that bring you joy. But as you
mm-hmm.
know, without your good health, what's the point?
Exactly. And I know you're one who's gone through a lot.
Yeah, my arthritis, and I find by eating even these heirloom tomatoes, which and I specifically plant tomatoes with low acidity, this way I can
mm-hmm.
enjoy the tomatoes, but I'm not hurting my joints in any way.
Oh, that's great to hear.
No one in my family, I remember being raised by not only my parents, but my grandparents and my great-grandparents until I was about 15. And I don't remember my great-grandparents ever suffering from osteoarthritis the way I have since I was in my 20s. I don't know if it's
right.
a result of the foods I've been eating, because that's just what we were given as young people, or whether it's a side effect of the psychic work I do. Sometimes I'm under the impression that's a little bit of both, but I've had to learn over the years also how to maybe being magnanimous and caring about people, maybe letting go of being oversensitive and just letting it pass mm-hmm. through me as a Reiki master would. That seems to be
not
helping
so easy,
with my
right?
body as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not so easy. I experienced that when I practiced Reiki or, you know, just any kind of energy healing. I may get the symptom that the person was
there
trying to get rid
yeah.
of, and I'll get it for a little while, and then
and then you'll release
you know,
it. Then you'll
yeah,
liberate yourself
it.
From it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're
but,
so right. In fact, a young lady that came here for a healing this week had told me that a Reiki master who had done work on her the week before had to stop midstream because the essence and energy she was picking up from this gal through her spine was overwhelming the facilitator of good health. And she said, has that ever
yeah.
happened before? I said, yes, but it happens more often with younger healers who, yes, are still trying to master that sense of being a catalyst for the healing session, but not taking on any symptomatic energies of their own. You're right. It does take time and work to understand how to do that.
Yes. Yeah. You have to. Yeah, it's all about the emotional body.
Yeah, and even just the field work practice makes it more perfect as your life goes on.
Mm-hmm. Truly. He does.
We get better with age.
Yes, we do. If we try. If we try. If we don't try, that's another thing. You know, that's why we need to inspire the awareness in people, too, because it's too easy to get complacent. And people, I know I was taught that, well, you're going to, when you get to this age, this is going to happen and that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
Yeah, the times are changing. I mean, over 100 years ago, if you were 40, you might as well just start preparing your casket. Nowadays,
exactly.
By the time you're 40 and 50, you're about to hit the new evolution of your life. You can be at your healthiest, but also at your smartest, which is ideal, and still have, I mean, people living over 100 now much more easily. You have your whole life ahead of you. And as you said, as we're both saying here, and eating well is part of that process that will give this body you rent the ability to take you into those years and keep inspiring the younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're doing a great job on this blog radio talking about such things, so I'm so thankful for you.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. And I'm so grateful that you called in and Rose called in. And
yes, she's wonderful.
With your wonderful wisdoms and you brought so much to the fact of, you know, we are what we eat, and let food be thy medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it was a pleasure to speak to you. Have a wonderful rest of the summer.
Oh, do the same. I hope to see you. I'm still in Wyoming, but
lovely place, I'm sure.
I'm going to get on. It's great. The horses walk by.
That's what I was just
going to
ask you. Have you been hanging out with the horses? I hope you have.
Well, they won't let me near them because they are free-roaming horses.
Right,
right.
But as you know, they have such strong third eye pineal gland energy, they can communicate with you from a distance.
Yes, this is true. This is true. And to watch them just stand there in the wind, and it poured rain here the other day, and the horse, one of the horses was just standing there. What, me worry? No problem.
Right. Bathed in rain as if it was, it is what it really is, a glorious gift from God.
Yes. He just looked. I mean, he was a little distant, you know, from me, but that's how he looked.
How wonderful
like
you, for you to see this visage. How wonderful for you to see this moment.
Oh, I treasure it. I tell you, I really feel so privileged that people say, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you go here? Did you? No, but I observed horses and birds and
right.
I saw a different land. And
it's like the Billy Joel concert in Madison Square Garden. That's great. That's wonderful. Enjoy. But seeing a horse in the rain in Wyoming, that sounds even better.
Oh, yeah. And the people I'm camping here near, they're just great. I've learned so much from my friends and it's just, it's all good. We do what we can do, and
that's wonderful.
It turns out for us as an individual, you know.
And just keep learning.
So,
that's what we're here for.
Yeah, really. Well, I hope to see you again real soon, too.
I'm
Daniel,
sure we will.
And,
it was a pleasure.
Likewise. Be well blessed. Enjoy your day.
Yes, have a blessed day.
And,
bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. I hope that all of that came out and such good points, and two of the most wonderful people on Long Island. Violet Rose Reiki is a Reiki master and a psychic, and Daniel Ackner is one of the best known psychics on Long Island. He's our Daniel, famous. And so you can find them both on Facebook. And you can find me on Facebook, either as Irene Windhorse or Reverend Irene Windhorse, Transformative Spiritual Services. And look for me on Skype, iWindhorse. Please state your purpose when you send a request to be in my contact. And I will look for your profile, so please have one. Okay, and be blessed and feel the love. Bye-bye.